This is the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to Inside ECAC Hockey. We are headed toward playoff time on the women's side of ECAC Hockey. And a pleasure to have with us the head coach at Yale, Mark Balding. Mark, welcome to the show. Great to have you here this week, and excitement as we get ready to turn the corner toward some real March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bernie, for having me. I do appreciate it, and it's nice to see the snow dwindling in our area, and we're all excited for playoffs. It's a fun time of year in New England and in New York, and really when playoffs start, it's awesome.
No question about that, and I always talk to people that maybe are not as well-versed about college hockey, either on the men's or the women's side, and they are usually a little bit astounded by the length of the season and the fact that, I mean, on the women's side, you start late September, even a little bit earlier than the men, and the goal is to be playing well into March. And I always say the long and winding road of the college hockey season, you navigate it with the fact that you know as a head coach and the coach's mentality, there's going to be ups and downs along the way. But, Mark, I guess the feeling is really that you want to be playing your best hockey or close to it at the most opportune time. Now, I look at your team right now to get ready to talk to you today. You're 6-1-1 since January 26th. Only your setback was at RPI. Yep. You've had three straight shutouts. I feel like I'm talking to a coach in the English Premier League. I mean, is Wayne Rooney somewhere in the back of that room?
That's right.
But, dare I say it, are you playing your best hockey at the most opportune time? Not to jinx you at all. I know I've been around coaches my whole life, but it's going to make you feel pretty good at this time with what the momentum you're building.
Yeah, I think the group feels pretty confident in how things have gone the last little while. And, overall, we're just talking about this. We kind of wish the season goes into April, and it will for the men's side. But,
right.
Yeah, we do feel like we're playing well right now, Bernie, and defensively is really what we have right now. We're down offensively from a year ago, and not surprising. You know, we lost a couple of great players and some leadership, so, you know, that's going to change the tide with any program. But you're right, we're playing well, we're defending hard. PK's been pretty darn good, and now it's just kicking and scrapping, trying to get ready. But I think the confidence is there. And that's going to help. This is a gauntlet, the ECAC, we feel, this time of year. And we made it through the first hoop, getting by a pesky Union team, and now up to St. Lawrence, where I know there will be snow somewhere up there. So we're excited to get started, and it's going to be a tough contest. But now, you know, live or die. Either win in advance or it's all over, I think, at this point.
Well, give us, I think, maybe a little bit of a deeper perspective on the playoff game with Union. You know, you have a chance to look at it two, three times, break it down with the coaches as far as what you saw there and some of the things that you take forward into this next round with St. Lawrence. You know, the fact that you did get through that first hurdle.
Yeah, thanks. We had a quick start. We jumped out early and got the lead, had a goal that actually got turned away on goalie interference. So, but we turned it around. We had two in the first, two in the second, and then next thing you know, they're making a push. They score in a power play. They get one more, and, you know, next, you know, then we're on the PK. So goes from feeling really comfortable to like, uh-oh, this team is really figuring it out. So, you know, we did. I think we outshot them and outplayed them territorial, but they came back hard and made a push, and we got an empty netter. But overall, we liked the way we played. They were anxious to make an impression, and they did at their first playoff attempt. So we got through it. I think everybody felt good about the performance, and likely our last, you know, it will be our last game on home ice. So nice for the old players, and then off to St. Lawrence, who have beaten us twice, but we feel like we're up for the task, and I kind of like the matchup.
Yeah, looking back at the track record against St. Lawrence, I mean, you played them on November 17th. I went back, I took a look at that game, what, 3-2 loss, a game that was tied with about three, you know, just let's take a look at that one first. The game, it's an even game with 3 minutes left. So, I mean, you know, you can't be much evener than that for 57 minutes in that one.
Yeah, it was a great game back and forth. The lead changed a couple times, and then we fought back to tie it. And then they made a nice entry and a drive to the net and stuck it in. And you know, you go from thinking you're going to get points in the ECAC to, like, nothing. So that was a bit of a reality shock. And then we lost the next night. I played really well at Clarkson and lost 1-0. So, you know, not rewarded, but then back at our place, we played pretty well against them as well. Just didn't get the results, so can't frown on it now. You know, I'm hoping the adage of it's hard to beat a team three times in a year actually comes to fruition. But we'll see if we can hang in there.
Yeah, that game, the second game you played them at home, they were down at the Whale January 20th, and that game was even all the way to the final minutes of the second period. So another game that you look 5-6 periods that you played almost dead even through almost all of it.
Yeah, and that's the optimism that we have to take forward and the reality of it. You look at it, they've got a couple of great players, and they're having a great season, which we figured they might. But they've got a couple of sharpshooters. Hustler can really shoot the pill, and she's one of the leading goal scorers. And then Gosling, just some kid who's a Canadian national team marquee player. So she's a good hockey player, and they're deep and well coached. So I think knowing that we you know, like you said, five out of the six periods we've played pretty darn dead even, we'll take that, and then just got to go up there and play in a classic college rink and see what we can do.
You know, so much of success in coaching, and I'm fascinated as a I guess you could say at this point, a lifetime observer of coaches and coaches that I've been around and I've covered and spent time with in multiple sports. But when I look at what you've done with this program, Mark, you were the AHCA Coach of the Year in 22, brought the team, you know, a lot of firsts that year with Frozen Four, first time for the program. Last year, you ring up 28 wins, and 19 of them in the ECAC, which is not to be discounted. You finished first in the regular season for the first time with the team. And as you alluded to, a team that scored 132 goals last year. But I say really the test of a coach, adjust to what you have, what your resources are, and put your team in, you know, proverbially in the best position to win. Did it take a little time to adjust to the fact that we're not the prolific offensive team, and about how mindful we have to be defensively, and the fact that you've seen the dividends now with this 6-1 run?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we do like our first-year players and our newer kids, and so maybe the naive couple of weeks from the coaching staff thinking, geez, maybe we won't score as few as we think. But and then reality set in. It just takes time for a lot of first years to score, and you know, we got a great leader in Archie who's a dynamite player. And but yeah, you know, go get to work on the defensive end. We've got a lot of experience in the back end. Our goaltender is very, very solid. She was an All-American the year before. And just figure out how to kick and claw and scrap and try and figure out how to win games another way. And defending is not always exciting, but I'm hoping maybe we can be St. Louis from a few years ago or you know, a good defensive core like Vegas had last year to win it. They didn't have a lot of, I don't know if they had a guy over 70 points in the NHL that year, but they got the job done. So certainly not the Vegas Golden Knights, but I like our team and I like where we're at. And we've played everybody even at the top pretty competitively. So let's see what happens here coming up.
You could have Jacques Lemaire on speed dial it, right?
Yeah, right.
Winning a couple of cups down there at exit 16W. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned about your goalie, and Pierre. I mean, my gosh, I look at the numbers. You know, I've been around long enough, Mark, used to say at college hockey, it's a race to four, race to three. You might just be a race to one, getting back to my Premier League analogy, but you're just to give us some insight about her, what she's meant to this program. You know, just 1.71, 922, and 6 shutouts, and really leading the charge for you here, just giving you so much stability.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy thing is for her, she's a perfectionist. Pia, we got her from Slovenia. She's a hardworking kid, dialed into her studies, and, you know, she helps their national team, which isn't a great team. She, you know, she goes over there and stops 50 to 70 shots when she's in competitive environment. So, but Pia's a winner, and she's very much a pro. And, you know, she's not having the year she did the year before, and that's bothering her. So I think she's rebounding. You know, at times she feels like I've got to stop everything or we don't have a chance tonight. And I think that's starting to change. But We play here a lot of minutes. You know, a lot of people say, "Geez, why? How come you're not playing the others?" And so, well, when you got a great goaltender at our level, it's hard not to go with your top yep. dog as much as you can. You can pick another path, but while we have her, we definitely have to use her. So she set the shutout record for our program and just stellar numbers, and she gives us confidence. So she's going to be really relied upon. We know that, and I think other teams know that. But while you have a great ace like that, you got to use her. So we're excited about our chances with Pia.
Mentioned about Pia hailing from Slovenia, and you've also tapped Europe to New Haven with a great Russian defenseman, Vita Poniatowskaya. How did I do with that? Was like,
that's good. Yeah, you got her. A lot of the girls and fans will call her Pony. That's just easier to say, but Vita's a great player. She landed in Canada in the HTI program, I think back when she was in grade 10, and really quickly tried to figure out the English version, and her coach said she really studies hard. So we're fortunate that she's such an academic whiz and works so hard, but great player, great vision. She moves the puck. She's an offensive defenseman, but also takes pride defending. So, again, her numbers are down, but she's really an effective, slick puck mover, and she'll be critical for our success in the playoffs.
Absolutely, plus 11 too to lead your decor there in that category, and your first line. Obviously, it's a little bit loaded up on the first line. We had L on a couple of weeks, the last week or the week before. It all kind of blends together.
Yeah,
this time here.
Yeah,
why are you again? No.
But Elle,
I had a great time talking to her and the bloodlines with her dad, Todd. I remember Todd playing at Harvard and so forth.
Sure.
That first line with her and Jordan Ray and Anna Bogman, and she sang the praises of her line mates when she had her on the show. That has been a huge go-to line, and she's really put up some huge numbers for you. Just what a great all-around impact player.
Yeah, Elle's tremendous. I mean, on and off the ice, she does a lot, and she's a great defensive player, wins faceoffs, just dynamic in every sense. And, you know, not the biggest, not the fastest, but really high IQ. And, you know, we talk about that when you're recruiting. If you can pick one, it's like you got to go with the IQ, because some kids are fast and can't accomplish things, and some kids are big and can't accomplish things. You really need that hockey IQ. That's what separates her and makes her such a special player. That's a good line for us right now. A little top heavy. We have to, you know, when you're trying to score, you put everybody in the, you know, you put your big dogs out there. And Bargman's been, she loves to shoot the puck. She's a great hustler, and she's got very, very competitive, good on the PK too. So she likes the front of the net, trying to bang home some rebounds, makes plays. And Ray is kind of a player, you're going to notice her immediately. She's got jets. She can really move up and down the ice and complimentary. She played center earlier in the year, but just a little more chemistry and zip back to the year before with Elle and Anna Bargman. So Jordan can get up and down the ice, and we hope that she can find a little scoring knack here, because if you can get two or three from the same line, that's pretty much what you got. That might be all you get a night in playoffs.
No question. Elle also leading your team with blocks too. That's unusual to see for your first line center with 44. Boy, that tells you something about the buy-in. Oh, man.
Yeah, heavy minutes. So I guess the good news is if you're one of the top players, come to my program, because then I'll play the heck out of you. Elle does everything, and it's rare to find your elite scorers just diving in front of shots. But I think it's her IQ and positioning, Bernie. You have players that mm-hmm. they know where to be, and it's not surprising they're in lanes on the PK. They just know how to defend. So, again, back to the IQ and just the willingness of her to compete.
You mentioned Vegas a moment ago, and you sounded a little bit like David Quinn to me when he coached Jack Eichel at BU. And during that season, did that ask Quinny? They said, about what a great job you're doing coaching. He said, really? He said, it's pretty easy. He said, I have three words. Are you tired?
Yeah,
sounds like you got the same principle with Elle right now.
Geez, you know, when I was at Norwich for years, we had some great players and a lot of fun and did pretty well as a group. And you always have your stars, but man, when you get to the D1 level, you realize okay, you got to play the horses at times, because if you don't, it's not a fair race. It's just not a fair race. So you're fortunate if your players can stay healthy and stay focused, and that if your top kids can play heavy minutes, it's really what's required to kind of get through the tough stretch and the tough season. But the depth is important, no doubt about it. But if you're going to be a successful team, I think at any level, your top kids have to be warriors and play a lot of minutes.
Just looking inside some of the numbers as I get ready to talk to you today, Mark, you've limited teams, just outstanding. You've limited just 22 shots a game, so you're plus 12 with the shot differential. Plus 21, not surprisingly, overall with your goal differential for the year. But I noticed the special teams looks like that's been a bit of an issue for you. Just 11.7% of power play. That's still, I guess, a work in progress. You're still probably kind of, as we say, in the lab and trying to tinker around a little bit to get some better looks there.
Yeah, no doubt. That actually feels like Red Deer where I grew up, nice and cold, down low numbers, not enjoying that percentage, and we all know it. So, again, you say peak at the right time. We're trying to get pucks through and make plays, and maybe it's just the part of just being a little more, of a creative team or thinking that way. We graduated Seitz, who was an unbelievable defenseman who could snap it off, so. No excuses. We got to find a way to make our power play click, and I like our PK. We're working hard, and the numbers are pretty
good.
You just have, pick your poison. You play Cornell one night, and they've got some elite players. Colgate's a wagon. Clarkson's got tremendous defensemen and depth. So if you really got to be out of the box, and hopefully that happens for playoffs, because you don't want to get into a power play war with St. Lawrence, Clarkson, Colgate, Cornell, because it's just not in your favor. So hopefully we can stay disciplined and beat teams 5-on-5.
The numbers were very good on the PK, 86.9%, outstanding, one of the best in the country. And good job on the faceoffs too, and we always underestimate that in terms of possession. And you're almost 56%. Is that something that you're really dedicate yourself to maybe a little exercise? I know some teams spend more time than others. Some always, yeah. They got the commitment after practice to spend time at the dot. Looks like whatever you're doing, it's working right now.
Yeah, thanks. I think as a group, we've been pretty good. We had Charlotte Welsh, who was really good centerman last year, who graduated, and Elle's been dynamic from day one. A kid that's kind of undervalued is Naomi Boucher, and her dad's actually the Leafs assistant coach. Just dialed in on the faceoffs, and she's actually our third line centerman. And so it helps when you have kids that can win faceoffs consistently, and they do. They're putting in the time. Somebody's got the bucket dropping it at the end. So if you put in the work and the details, that helps. So can never have enough centermen for sure. But we're thankful what we have right now, and like I said, hopefully we can win the draws when they count.
Absolutely the case. And finally, Mark, and you've alluded to it here just a moment ago, but a real theme for me this season, and I've been covering this league for a long time and the podcast for a long time, but one of the things on the women's side is just a recurring theme is just how tough this league is. I mean, quantity, quality. Now you get to the playoffs and just really beat up on each other now in the playoffs, but it's just amazing the level of talent and the overall elite teams that you have, the number of elite teams in this league this season.
Yeah, it's been hard every year, no doubt, to just try and make it to the upper half. And this year we finished sixth, and while we're disappointed, we're also realists. Like this is a great league, and with the players offensively that are national team kids and U18, U22, so it's not surprising. It's a grind every night, and then you throw in the goaltenders. There's some great goalies in our league, so. I think our league couldn't be in a better spot right now, and it will be tough, and whoever gets through the playoffs are certainly going to earn that right to get to the NCAAs. And there's a lot of – we may not be in that spot right now. We've probably had a couple too many losses, but you never know. Maybe there will be some different upsets coming up, but there will be a lot of our teams that will get a crack at the NCAA due to the volume of work that they put in.
Absolutely the case. Well, we wish you the best in the North Country. You'll be in hockey country for the playoffs. Does it get any better than that, being up in the North Country for a playoff this weekend?
That's right. It should be fun. I can smell the popcorn already in that old rink, and can't wait to play. It should be fun.
All right. Best of luck on the road to Canton, Mark. Thanks very much for joining us this week.
Thanks, Bernie. Great to hear from you again.
Mark Boulding, head coach of the Lady Bulldogs from Yale, getting ready for playoff action at St. Lawrence in the quarterfinals of the ECAC tournament this weekend, joining us here on Inside ECAC Hockey. Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome back to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined on the men's side with our player profile this week. He is a centerman for the Big Red of Cornell and having an outstanding season. Second year with the Big Red after transferring from another ECAC school after going from Schenectady to Ithaca, traveling across New York State. And very happy to have with us their first-line centerman from Uppsala, Sweden, Gabriel Seger. Gabriel, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. First of all, how is my pronunciation? Is it Uppsala, Uppsala?
You kind of nailed it. Uppsala.
Okay. I nailed the landing. That's good. That's a good start for us. Okay. I do my own stunts, Gabriel. I warn you that, okay? I don't have a stuntman here, so there you go. Well, the season's winding down, and we talk about the long and winding college hockey season. It is a long season, and if you want to get to where you want to get to, you travel through many months and many obstacles along the way. Big Red currently 16-5-6, 11-5-4 in the ECAC, coming to the final weekend of play in the ECAC. But the good news, I guess, is really how well this team has played since the first of the year around the holidays. The last 16 games, just one loss, and that was in overtime last week in 10-1-5. You had a bunch of ties thrown in, but overall, Gabriel, you've been a veteran member of this team. It seems like this team is playing their best hockey or close to their best hockey at the right time.
Yeah, no, I think so, for sure. We had a pretty decent start to fall, too, and then went a little slump there. Then we had a long Christmas break. Got back to work on some fundamentals. We have a lot of freshmen, too, so I think they took a lot of strides during that little break. Then we got back since Christmas there. We've kind of been on a roll. Definitely, we have more to give still, though. We're getting better every week, I think, so which is exciting. So I don't think we played our best hockey yet, but we're definitely playing better and better.
And brought along, I mean, the veteran hand, Mike Schaefer, at the helm of this ship. Give us some insight about what it's been like to play for Mike the last couple of years. I've had such great respect and admiration for him, and what really comes to mind is consistency. There's just a great consistency in the Cornell program. But your perspective, you've been at a couple of programs and been in a couple of different systems and cultures, but what about Cornell and what really makes it special, the Big Red with a great tradition?
Yeah, like you said, Coach Schaefer, such a good coach. He established culture right away. And personally, coming in last year, there's definitely a couple of things he wanted me to work on. And we spent a lot of time, did some video, but getting in better shape, getting faster, and then play better defensively too. And so he's been great help. As he's also mentioned, the structure part and stuff like that. His hot knowledge is kind of off the charts. So you can come in, talk like PK, and then next day power play. So it knows a lot, and it knows how to deliver the message too. Great coach.
And you with your plan as far as coming to the United States and playing college hockey, we'll talk about in a moment. You're an outstanding student, by the way. We'll get to that. Don't worry. I'm not going to forget. We talk about the season and the reason, Gabriel, and you exemplify both the season and the reason that college athletics exists with your great performance. Was growing up in Sweden, you played for the J, and the J20 was the last league that you played in. You represented your country. You played at the 16 level, the 18 level, the 20 level. You were always an elite player there. America, college hockey, Division I hockey, always on your radar screen. When did you come to the conclusion that this is a route that I might want to take?
So it's always in the back of my back of my head, but I think I was going for what a lot of people do is if they can sign an SHL contract, make like a first, second round in the draft and go straight into a pro team over there, I might have stayed. But being in the position I was, get a few more years of development, get academic side as well, is kind of a no-brainer when I turn like 18, I think. So, yeah, I would say 17, 18, that age is I made my decision to come over to the States. I'm very happy.
And happy that you did. As far as the overall experience for you, you had a chance to get involved with junior hockey before coming to NCAA Division I. But overall, good experience for you overall. That hey, I took the right route here. I'm on the right path.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm super thankful, grateful that I took the step to American hockey. As you said, I got a year of junior hockey first, and a handful of years here of great college hockey. Developed a lot as a hockey player, but also as a person.
And from Uppsala, Sweden, and your stop was the North American League, Amarillo, Texas. A little bit of a culture shock, I would imagine, coming to Amarillo, Texas to play. What was that experience? Can you give us maybe a story or a couple of things that immediately come to mind where, wow, I'm a long way from home right now in Amarillo, Texas?
I could give you a lot of stories, but yeah, it's definitely a culture shock. Thankfully, I had a great Bill family. We had a great team too, a good coach down there. So it's kind of a easy adjustment hockey-wise, but outside the rink, you could go to the restaurants and people show up on their horses and stuff. It's definitely different from back home.
Nobody was, I would believe, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, nobody was riding a horse to a restaurant in Uppsala last week. Probably not.
No.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it, though? Did you enjoy it, though, Gabriel? You said you had a great billet family. That makes all the difference. But did you embrace it? Did you know, now be honest now, in your closet, is there a pair of cowboy boots? Is there a cowboy hat? Anything like that?
No, not really. I'm kind of into country, though. Country music, so I say.
Okay.
Maybe that. But no, I had a great year there. One of my best friends from home played with me that year, too, David. So, and great guys and team. So, no, it was a great year.
Uh-huh. All right, so you mentioned country music. Now, I'm a rock and roll guy. I'm slightly older than you by about triple, okay? But I became friends with a young lady last summer, and I started to delve into country. So tell me now, country artist, who's at the top of your list?
Yeah, so I'm kind of new to it, so I think it's more like the mainstream names like Zach Bryan and Morgan Wallen and those guys. It's not really like the classics. Yeah, so the newer ones.
Okay, well, you know, see, I'm going to trump you there because I was at the Morgan Wallen show at Fenway Park with this girl and her family last year. So how about that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, geez, I threw you a curveball there. You didn't expect that one, did you, Gabe?
No, not really.
Saying, talking to this old guy, he didn't go to Morgan Wallen. You're damn right I did. Tell you, I saw Morgan Wallen. I saw Tyler Childress last summer, and I saw Chris Stapleton, too.
Wow. It's a good summer.
It was a good summer. Absolutely, it was. And the season so far, once again, started off some struggles early, picked it up. Big night at Madison Square Garden. I've had an opportunity. I've called all of the Big Red hockey going back to 2007 with Boston University. I know it was a while ago, but that event for you, a big stage, Madison Square Garden, home of the Rangers. They had a guy, his name escapes me. They had a pretty good goaltender that came from your country. As a matter of fact, for a long time. What was that experience like? I know it's a thrill for me to broadcast a game. Like, just imagine what it's like to be skating out there as a player and have an opportunity to play.
Nah, yeah, it's such a thrill to play, too. It's the coolest atmosphere you can probably play in. Definitely college level, but, like, worldwide, too. So, and having all our fans there, too. And then come out with a win. It was a great game, too. It was a tie 1-2-1 win, I think.
2-1. Yes, it was. Yep.
I also think it showed our team that we can play with the best teams in the country. Because BU, I think there were one or two at the time. They're still two in pairwise. And so it's definitely it's big for our team. Prove not only to ourselves, but also the rest of the league, we can play with the best teams in the country. That's where we want to be. So. And, yeah, yet again, such a good atmosphere. It's
Can't really believe it at first, but just look, sit on the bench, take a moment and look around, and yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, great, and always great crowds for it too, with the excitement level in the building, the buzz in the building. And your body of work this season, outstanding. 27 games, 11 goals. You tied with Dalton Bancroft for the team lead. You are the team leader with assists with 23, points with 34, and three power play goals, a game winner. But the other thing that jumps out is plus 23, so indicative of the fact that you've been taking care of the game and been mindful in all three zones, and great awareness of the whole 200 feet of the ice there. Defensive responsibilities, I know you take very seriously down low in the defensive system.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. As mentioned earlier, too, last year when I came in, I was probably more passively minded, but Shave did a great job. I think it was more of a mindset than a skill I didn't have. I actually played 200 feet, played defensively, and the better defense you play, the quicker you get the puck and going offense. So I take a lot of pride in now, trying to be a good 200 feet player, foot player. But it's pretty easy with the guys who I have in our team to play good defensively. I play with Kyle Penny in my line, is arguably one of the best defensive forwards in our division at least, and I had great decor and stuff. So just try to do my job, and have the guys around me too. Makes it easy.
Gonna mention, that was one of my questions there. You jumped ahead, which is fine as far as your line mates. Kyle Penny, you're a big presence in the middle. You're listed 6'4", 210. Kyle, big body there, 6'1". He's over 200 pounds. And then you got a small guy on the right side, Nick DeSantis, a small, quick guy. But you guys seem to really complement each other well, and have really functioned at a very high level as a line.
Yeah, no, definitely. We bring a little different things to the table, I think. Nicky got a lot of speed and skill. Penner is a great two-way player. He got good hockey IQ, wins his battles, great in the forecheck, front of the net, makes some plays. And then, I'm trying to dish the puck around and win my battles too. So, yeah, no, we definitely complement each other well.
No doubt. You're a big centerman. Once again, 6'4", you're listed at 210. You got any guys in the NHL that you keep a close eye on as far as being able to model or take elements of their game and incorporate it into your own game?
There's so many skillful players out there. When I was younger, it was more like the Malkins. Backstrom is from my hometown.
Really? Okay.
Yep. As more offensively minded centermen. Nowadays, I watch a lot of like the third, fourth line centermen too, play a two-way game and stuff like that. So I don't know if it's any specific really, but I definitely watch a few guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know you'd be mindful of those guys, knowing that there might be a place for you at the next level, you know, as far as we play a certain, you know, be able to really define a certain role. And that's a good way to look at it, good perspective, Gabriel.
Yeah, thank you.
No doubt. And coming through, you've through your last 10 games, you've got 13 points. You're a plus 10, so you're very steady performance there. And coming into the final two games, you guys be able to put yourselves in a strong position to be able to play at home in the playoffs. It looks like you're probably going to end up as the number two seed right now, which will keep you playing in the friendly confines up at Lina Rink. Whenever I have a Cornell guy talk about Lina Rink, one of the great barns in college hockey, and really unique experience now that you're playing your home games. You came in there as a visitor, I suspect, but now playing your home games there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Lina faithful, and just the crowd in general, they're right up top of you. They bring the juice every night. It's unbelievable atmosphere, and having that at our own barn, it's definitely something special. It helps us a lot.
No question about that. And you have some hockey background, I understand, hockey family. With your uncle, rather accomplished coach back in Sweden, I believe, Nicholas Lundström?
No, that's not my uncle.
Oh, that was listed as part of, I was looking on the Hockey DB, and it had him listed as a coach name. Was it Nicholas?
No. My cousin you're talking about?
Or cousin, okay.
Nicholas Lundqvist, yeah.
No, Lundqvist, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Edstrom. I'm sorry, Lundqvist.
He's a few years older than me. He was definitely a big part of me starting playing hockey, and then the early years. We didn't live in the same hometown, but he was like kind of an idol. So he played for
all the way through juniors, a couple years senior hockey, and then now he's a head coach and back home. So yeah,
right. And so I saw you coaching in the been a long time coach in the Swedish league.
Yeah,
and once again, we mentioned it earlier, but let's really give you the credit here. Just named this week the ECAC Scholar Athlete of the Year. You're the fifth Cornell player to receive that honor. You've got a 3.5 QM with your grade point average, and you're not exactly doing it in a course offering that is any way easy. It's, I'm sure, a pretty arduous path to be a Division I athlete playing at a high level. You're an engineering major, electrical and engineering in one of the specialties. What about your academic pursuit and what that honor means to you to be acknowledged as not only as an all-academic selection, but now to be the scholar athlete of the league? And congratulations on that. That's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. No, it's definitely something to be super proud about. You know, it's a lot of hard work for sure, but it's also like the people surrounding me and my family stuff. Got to give them a lot of credit. And then, yeah, no, it's something to be proud about. So thank you.
No question. And one aspect of your game, and start to think about not too early, but everybody aspires to the Division I college. I mean, who doesn't aspire to the pro level, the opportunity? But, man, face-offs are really a big, big part of your game. I mean, the numbers just off the charts. I looked at almost 64% of your face-offs last year. You win at about a 60% rate. You got 1,200 face-off wins in your career. Amazing as far as the go-to part of your game. What do you attribute that to? Were you one of those guys that's just on the ice, stay on the ice, work on it after practice for, you know, putting in X number of additional hours? What about your success there? Because you've just been, you've been almost lights out automatic to win big face-offs with Coach Schaefer.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I take a lot of pride in too. Always been pretty good at face-offs, but since coming to college, it's something we work on consistently a couple times a week. As you mentioned, staying out after practice or up on the ice, get our reps in. We also do a lot of face-off videos, so going to the game with a good pre-scout, what to do. And then also, again, got to give credit to my line mates and D, who are hopping in, winning a lot of 50-50 pucks for me. Mm-hmm. The great face-off intensity, something Coach Schaefer is big on too, so that's definitely helpful too.
Well, no question. It's very underrated for possession and being able to dictate the flow of the game, and you've been right in the middle of it. And also, you've been the Hobie nominee, and hopefully the folks in Ithaca are getting the groundswell going for you as far as the support for you, Gabriel. It's also a great accomplishment to be a Hobie nominee for the Big Red.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, also something to be proud about. It's awesome. It's something like Hobie, obviously something you're aware of before coming to college, is really cool. But yeah, I'm just honored to be nominated, and then don't really think about it too much. But yeah,
no doubt about that. And final weekend, a word. Your opponents this weekend, and as you get ready for the end of the regular season and on to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, this weekend will be huge. As you mentioned earlier, securing that second place in ECAC and then build some momentum for hopping on to playoffs here, and then we're still playing to make the Nationals too. So ranking-wise, these games are huge too. So yeah, I'm going for two wins.
Absolutely. Hopefully it'll be a big weekend for you to close out the regular season with the North Country opponents coming up. Gabriel, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Appreciate your time. And best of luck to you in the Big Red here in the ECAC playoffs and the road down to Lake Placid. And then hopefully, as you mentioned, on the road to the Nationals. Cornell is right there in the middle of that fight also.
Yeah, no, exactly. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Gabriel Seeger, first-line centerman for the Cornell Big Red out of Uppsala, Sweden. Our guest here, our player profile this week on Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast. Follow ECAC Hockey across all social media platforms. And thank you to the coaches and players for coming on the podcast every week. This has been the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett.